in the New Testament, isn't it? Romans 12, which verse?
14 through 21.
Can you hear me now?
Amen.
Okay. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord." On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you shall heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the readings of God's word.
Amen. Thank you, Ron. If you would, one more time, pray with me. Father, we ask that your word would enter our hearts, that we would obey, that we would be encouraged. I simply pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What we believe and how we behave. Well, by now you've got to be a little bit tired of hearing that. I said it every week. But as tired as you might be hearing it, those around us never tire. Our neighbors, our coworkers, the people we interact with, the people that see us and know us are very interested to see if what it is we believe is translated into how we behave. And one of the areas of greatest interest is what happens when we are attacked, when we are challenged. What do people of faith do when that happens? How do we behave when somebody who actively doesn't like us, how do we treat them? I'm not going to use the word persecuted because, frankly, we aren't persecuted. I'm going to reserve that for people who live in areas such as North Korea and Somalia, in Syria, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Sudan. Those are the top countries in terms of persecution. In those countries, for being a believer, you can have your economic life destroyed. You can have your home confiscated, your children taken away. You can be beaten. You can be imprisoned. In countries like that, you can be killed. Persecution comes because you are simply a follower of Jesus. They hate you because you love Jesus. Persecution is economic, physical, psychological, it's relational. And to be quite honest, you and I are not exposed to this type of thing. Yeah, we're ridiculed. Yep, we're rejected. Sometimes we're maligned in the media, we're made fun of. But Jesus told us to expect that. We are misrepresented. We are misunderstood. But Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they don't treat me well, they're not going to treat you well. The disciples were persecuted. It's just our turn. We bring the gospel message, and that message is not always popular because it brings light to those things and those people who would much rather remain in the dark. The question is, how are we supposed to respond when someone attacks us? And I believe Jesus covered that when he was talking on the Sermon on the Mount. He was said, you have heard to say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what's your reward? Don't even the tax collectors do that. If you greet only your own people, what more are you doing than others? Don't even pagans do that. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew chapter 5, 43 to 48. And you're saying to yourself, well, how in the world do you do that? That seems awfully unreasonable. Our nature is not that way. It's not natural to act that way. We don't want to get even. We want to get ahead. We do unto others before they can do unto us. We don't want that type of thing. So what's our recourse? How do we then behave? How can we do this? Well, I think Paul covered that. Romans chapter 12. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and acceptable worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect rule. In other words, what God wants us to do is he wants us to be transformed so that we don't behave the way of the world, we behave the way of the kingdom. And you're saying, okay, I got what you got to do. How are we going to do this? Give us some details. Well, Paul gives us some details. When you and I live in peace and harmony, there are a lot of details. There are some very specific things. We are told to do 11 things and not to do 6 things. We are not to curse, not to be proud, not to be conceited, not to repay evil with evil or take revenge or to be overcome by evil. Those are the things that we're going to look at we're not to do. We are to bless, rejoice, mourn, live in harmony, be careful, live in peace, do what is right, feed and give people something to drink, and overcome evil. And when I look at a list like this, the one thing it proves to me is that I can't do this under my own power. I need something more. I have to have the Holy Spirit. I need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you think about the expectations of God, here's what we're talking about. Bless those who persecute you. Paul says, you're not just going to refrain from doing evil. You are going to be actively working for the person who doesn't like you so that they can have good in their lives. You are going to ask God to care for them. You're going to pray that God's compassion and his care and his love is going to be bestowed on him. I don't know of a more radical stance. I don't know of a more radical expectation. And I don't know where else you're going to find that other than the kingdom of God. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Yeah, God's serious about this. He wants us to bless. Because he has given to us a blessing while we were still enemies of him. We do it in the same way that God has given to us. Romans 5, 8. For while we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. And that's how God proved his love for us. He gave Christ as a ransom for all of us. So that when people lash out at us, when people are angry at us, when people reject us, whether it's from the wrong impression or they don't like Christianity or they're just frustrated, we bless them. We bless them. That's how you live at peace with them. The next thing you do is that you stand with people no matter where they are. We want to rejoice with those who rejoice. We want to mourn with those who mourn. One of the things that happens in our culture is we tend to be focused on ourselves. We do think it's all about us. And in Christianity, they said, no, it's not. It's about the other person. I want you to stand with them. I want you in and out of faith. Those who are in and out of faith, I want you to share their experiences. When they're rejoicing, I want you to rejoice. Not if they're doing something outside the kingdom, but when they're rejoicing, enjoy it with them. When they shed tears with them. We don't have to share in their activities, but we certainly can stand and applaud them when they're successful. We can also grieve with them when they're hurting. I find it fascinating that in our culture, we find it far more easy to sorrow with someone than it is to rejoice with someone. When somebody else gets a big contract, somebody else has a huge success, somebody else does something, we kind of have a little bit of jealousy in our culture. Well, why does it have to be them? Why can't it be me? Not the believer. The believer says, that is so phenomenal. When their child all of a sudden gets accepted into the best college, you praise them. When their child does something phenomenal, or when they all of a sudden have a blessing, you praise them. You stand with them. You enjoy it with them. And then when they are crushed, you grieve with them. You stand, support, care. You're next to them. Because we live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another. We're supposed to live in agreement. I think it's kind of sad that the Church of Jesus Christ is a fractured entity. That the Church of Jesus Christ is sometimes, we tend to look at one another more over our differences than our unity. I've been in a lot of churches. I've been in a whole bunch of different, you know the difference between us and many churches? Nothing. Their bulletin looks different. They sing a couple different songs. They take an offering at the end of the service. I don't know how in the world we can even stand to be in the same room. You see, we both serve Jesus. We all serve Jesus. I find it fascinating that some people, my first church, God love, Harcourt, Iowa. Little tiny church, much smaller than this. Little tiny church out in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. Well, okay, somewhere, Iowa. Did I tell you how wonderful my wife is? I picked you up in Iowa. Now to my point. Harcourt, Iowa was a church that was half charismatic and half non-charismatic. Half of them spoke in tongues, the other half didn't speak in tongues. And they all stood together. You know the difference? During prayer, some were quiet, some were noisy. Some sang like this, and some sang like this. That's it. That's it. They were part of the same family. They wept together. They rejoiced together. They celebrated and they cried. We just stand together, one in Christ. We just stand together for the kingdom. So what if we disagree as to when Jesus is going to come back? I think the bottom line is he comes back. The bottom line is we get to go with him. If you are mid-trib, post-trib, pre-trib, whatever, if you're pre-millennial, amillennial, pan-millennial, I don't know, whatever it is, Jesus comes back, and we belong to him. So we live in harmony with one another. You know what's hard to be when you have, what's hard to live in harmony is when you have arrogance. Verse number 16. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Arrogance has no place in the kingdom of God. That's right, little guy. Arrogance has no place in the kingdom of God. If there is anything that we have pride in, it is in God and his glory. Often in the Bible, we are told to check our egos at the door. We have no reason to be haughty. Remember what it says in Ephesians 2? For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, lest anyone boast. We didn't do anything. We just said yes. We have been brought into the kingdom. We have been empowered. We have been blessed. We have been given the Holy Spirit. There is no reason to look at those who are higher and lower in the kingdom. We all stand on one great plane. Cliques have no place in the church. There are no inside and there are no outside. Everyone has a place. Everyone belongs. We live that because there is no pride, no arrogance, and we can be associated with everyone. I told you before, and you said it very well, if you want to be first in the kingdom of God, you have to be. You want to be in the front, you got to go to the. Yeah. If you want to be the master, you've got to be the slave. And Jesus had to repeatedly put that into his people, his disciples' head, because our nature is to always be look who is higher on the ladder and who is lower and how can we get over the next person. Jesus treats everyone with care and value. And then he gets even more annoying. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Well, Paul understood that. He said, make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. That's found in 1 Thessalonians 5. Peter agrees with him and said, don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called in order that you would inherit a blessing. 1 Peter 3. No matter what the temptation, no matter what the desire, no matter what you think, is justified, we don't pay back. Remember when Jesus said, if somebody strikes you on the left cheek, give them the right? Somebody takes your jacket, give them your shirt? They make you go 1 mile, go 2 miles? You bless them, you do not curse them. Jesus said, you got to take up your cross. I don't want to take up my cross, I want to take up my fists. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. Especially when the evil is verbal. Oh, man. When the evil is verbal, we want to strike back because we're so good at it. And Jesus said, no. We have to be careful to do what is right in everyone's eyes. We have to be full of care in order that we do what's right according to the gospel, what's right according to the kingdom. As far as it depends upon us, we have to do what is right, not what is fair. There is nothing fair in the kingdom of God. Fair doesn't exist in the kingdom. If fair existed in the kingdom of God, you and I wouldn't be here. We live by grace. And grace is going the second mile. It's forgiving 70 times 7. So as far as it's up to us, we live as right, doing right in the eyes of everyone. And I live at peace with everyone. Peace in my attitudes, peace in my actions, peace in my words. I live in shalom. And that is without question extreme. And that's how we do it. And let me tell you something. When you talk with people who have a radically different philosophy in politics, you don't strike out. You don't become acerbic. You live at peace. Peace with your words. Peace with your actions. Peace with your attitudes. When you and I encounter the lesbian, gay community, we do not attack. We live at peace. We bring grace. I have to tell you, I find it fascinating that we point out that one sin overall. Have you ever noticed that in the New Testament, that's sort of lumped together with a whole other bunch of other things that we don't seem to have a problem about? I read this little blurb. I found it incredibly annoying. He said, do you know how many overweight pastors yell at gay people? How many gay people yell at overweight pastors? Isn't gluttony a sin in the Bible? I'm not saying that we're going to approve, but I'm saying we live at peace. We do not come with the sword. We let Jesus do that. We come with grace. Do you understand what I'm saying? We live at peace with those people around us. We don't have to approve. We live at peace. Do not take revenge. Do not take revenge. Revenge is not our concern. Revenge always escalates. Leave it alone. Do not seek revenge or bear grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself, Leviticus 19. I'm not supposed to go out and get even. Much of the long-term conflict in this world is fueled by revenge. I'll give you two examples, Ireland and the Middle East. We're getting back for hurts. Do you remember what the hurt is? Nope, we're just getting back. And then they got us back, and we're going to get them back, and they got us back, and we're going to get them back, and we remember, and we never forget, we never forget, we never forgive, and we're going to get back. And after a while, there isn't anything to do. At this moment, we are called to leave room for God's wrath, because vengeance is God's prerogative. He has the wisdom to know how to do it. He says, it is mine to avenge. I will repay. Deuteronomy 32. It was as true in the day of Moses as it is true in our day. And just take a look at what a mess we have created in our world. Let me give you one example. Take a look at Iraq. We all have ideas on what we ought to do. We all have ideas on what actions need to be taken. But at this moment, think about the lives that have been lost, the money that has been spent, the energy that has been placed in there, and it is just as much of a mess as it was before we ever touched the soil. Do we really know how to take? Isn't it vengeance better in God's hands than ours? In this confusing time, in this geopolitical world, in this time that we are both tired of war, in this time that we have now been at war for 10 years, there is a massive debate on whether or not followers of Christ can support, can be supportive of war, can be supportive of any of those types of things, or are we all called to be pacifists? I don't know. I'm not going to get into that at this point. I'm going to tell you this. This isn't about geopolitics. This is about your crabby neighbor next door. This is about that coworker that somehow delights in making your life miserable. This is about the family member that somehow knows what it takes to get under your skin. This is about the person whose personal mission is to hurt you. On the contrary, when someone behaves like that and he thinks you're an enemy, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. When that person stands against you, bless him. Don't curse him. Bless him. Take care of him. See to their needs. Give them compassion. Give them service. Give them love. Respond to injury with grace. And the power of the Holy Spirit will be with you. And then that last one in Proverbs 25, then in doing this you will heap burning coals on his head. That's not the goal. You know, I don't like this guy, so I'm going to give him a sandwich and watch him burn. No, that's not what we're talking about. By the way, burning coals is shame, embarrassment. Treat him in a manner that he's going to be embarrassed that he's been such a chucklehead with you. Treat him in a manner that will point him to love. Because the bottom line in all of this is that you and I have to be victorious over evil. We can't let evil be victorious over us. Don't be overwhelmed by evil. It's easy to have that happen. It is an overwhelming force. It is an overwhelming force in our world at this point. And the only thing that's going to stand up against it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only thing that you and I have to offer is the hope of Jesus Christ. When people treat us in a hateful manner, the most powerful weapon in the world is love. Do not be overcome by evil. Be victorious with good. Be victorious with love. Be victorious with grace. Had I been thinking I would have entitled the sermon, Get Your Nikes On. But let me tell you this. There's a great old song, Victory in Jesus. That's how we win. We have victory in Jesus. Go in peace.